broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We were told by TSA that we couldn't go any further.
I use coupons. I never used coupons before.
So the band ain't got to worry about me fighting the midget.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive...
Take your sticking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Epic fail.
Uh-oh. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And where truth is our bitch. And that's a bad choice of...
What?
Where you put... You had President Obama and then you had that ape line.
Oh, man, are you insane, man? I don't worry about that.
You're the guy that keeps, you know, worrying about stuff like that, where we put things. Weren't you just, who was he asking about?
He's asking me about Blackzilla.
Yeah, I just wonder, what about Blackzilla?
What about Blackzilla, huh? Why, because we did a whole hour on porn? I don't know about Blackzilla, bud. I don't know.
Well, you were the guys who were talking about it. I didn't care about it.
I don't care about Blackzilla.
I don't either, man. What are you talking about?
I just wonder what happened to him.
I don't know, man. Blackzilla, maybe he got out of the business, for all I know. We also have, speaking of Bud, we have his nightly news, Bud Dickman's nightly news, and the Dr. Green Thumb report. Still to come. And we have this story here about the prize fighter Floyd Floyd Mayweather Jr. I haven't really followed the fight game all that much since, I don't know, since it just didn't quite get as... Since the days of Tyson and Riddick Bowe, you know, and Riddick Bowe's great, I'm not 5-1, I get better with age, whole thing. Anyway... Floyd Mayweather, who has steadfastly refused to answer questions about the most recent round of failed negotiations for a fight with Manny Pacquiao, is that how you pronounce his name, has unleashed a profanity-filled racist internet rant against Manny Pacquiao, has released a profanity-filled racist internet rant against the Filipino star in an approximately 10-minute Ustream.com video. Apparently made Thursday and also posted on YouTube, Mayweather repeated his assertion that Pacquiao uses performance-enhancing drugs, an accusation that resulted in a defamation lawsuit from Pacquiao earlier this year. God, Mayweather, they're going to win this lawsuit if somebody in your camp doesn't get a muzzle on you. Mayweather repeatedly made references to Pacquiao cooking sushi, rice, and cats and dogs.
That's racist.
Anyway, he also called Pacquiao yellow and a midget. Now, speaking, by the way, of Ustream, we're going to be broadcasting on Ustream this weekend as I take a little trip out to the desert. I'm going to try out Ustream, man.
What is that?
I don't know, but I got it on my iPhone, so I think I'll try it out. We'll do a little Ustreaming. We'll do a little YouTubing. We'll do a little inner tubing. I don't know what.
That girl almost pulled her top up.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, too.
What are you guys looking at?
That right there.
Oh, will you get the paid programming out of here, okay?
I just want to know if they've shown it more to Billy, you know, Billy Kay or Billy, that Billy guy.
Billy, yeah. Who cares? Anyway, so here is Mayweather as he launches into his rant here against Pacquiao. A racist rant, they say, in which he calls him, well, you heard all the things that we just described to you. So Floyd Mayweather, upset in this video... I don't know why he's upset, man. He's upset because the negotiations continue to fail in his attempt to fight this guy.
So the band ain't got to worry about me fighting the midget. Don't worry about it, because, you know, once I kick the midget ass, I don't want y'all to jump on my so y'all better jump on, y'all better get on the bandwagon right now, because once I kick the midget ass, I don't want y'all to jump on my all shit, we knew you was going to do it. Because once I stomp the midget, I'm going to make me a sushi roll and cook me some rice.
That's good. All right, so here's Pacquiao. Mayweather, he continues his rant here against Pacquiao.
All that man did is make me a sushi roll. He better make me a shrimp tempura cut roll. A shrimp tempura cut roll. The teppanyaki room. I'm going to take that the teppanyaki room and chop his ass up with some rice. You know how it is. They're going to cook some cats and dogs.
Oh, man.
Man, I tell you, I think he's in trouble.
The only thing he's in trouble for is if he is accusing this guy Pacquiao of using steroids. Yeah, that's a defamation lawsuit. And if he and his side has sued Mayweather, and that can continue, that can be a problem. That's a problem. But there's nothing inherently illegal or actionable about him. The teppanyaki room.
Probably, was he talking about tempura?
I guess. Where do you go for the teppanyaki room, man? It would chop your ass up. See, I don't find any of that stuff racist, you know?
You don't?
No, I don't find that racist, per se. It's a slam on culture, you know? It's a sort of a cultural slam, which I think that's fair game, because culture is a culture is not something you're necessarily inherently biologically grafted to. Culture is something that ultimately is a choice. You know, it is, it hurts. If he was ripping it, I've heard America get ripped into all the time, man. The last thing I ever thought of was that the guy doing it was a racist. I always thought they were dumb, or they were unfunny, or they were ignorant. If I happened to be of like mind, I might have found it really funny. I don't know that I'm of like mind with Floyd Mayweather, but I got to tell you something. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I thought it was pretty funny until he talked about the teppanyaki and the cats and dogs.
I don't know, man. I think the brother, that brother, you were right about the steroid. You know what I'm saying?
That's the part that he ought to watch out. And if this Pacquiao cat has already got a defamation lawsuit in the works against this Mayweather, and Mayweather's making it worse, dude, big trouble. What are you looking at?
That's got to be that Megyn Kelly.
That ain't Megyn Kelly. Are you kidding me?
Take a look.
It's somebody that looks like her.
Yeah, I think it is Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, that's right, you guys. Megyn Kelly is doing an ad for a singles hotline at 12:15 at night, West Coast.
Well, maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You don't think she would?
No, man, I don't think she... Megyn Kelly of Fox News.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy, dude. She's not going to be doing a commercial for a singles hotline.
She's laying there, man. She had on a pair of jeans unbuttoned on the front, man, like she's going to have to go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's Megyn Kelly, all right.
So you think it is?
No, I don't. No, I don't think it's Megyn Kelly. She's not going to be on television at 12:15 at night doing a single hotline commercial with her jeans halfway down like she's going to go to the bathroom, as our good friend here, Mr. Leonard, said.
Well, I saw the same thing he saw.
Well, that just furthers my belief that that's not Megyn Kelly, because I think both you guys are crazy. How's that feel?
I don't know, man.
Trust me.
Why are you convinced it's not her?
Because she doesn't need the work, dude. She's on Fox TV News. She gets paid enough. She don't have to be a model on a singles hotline. Don't you guys know they get people to look like famous people? You know that, right?
No, how do they do that?
They do that all the time. They porn actresses. We were just talking about porn actresses. They get people who are lookalikes because they, you know, it gets people kind of gets their fantasy life going or something. I don't know. Anyway, getting back to Floyd Mayweather here, before I was so rudely interrupted, Mayweather apparently in his home with a handful of members of his entourage in the background, ripped into Pacquiao repeatedly during the video. I'm on vacation for about a year. About a year, Mayweather said. As soon as we come off vacation, we're going to cook that little yellow chump. We ain't worried about that. So they ain't going to worry about me fighting the midget. Once I kick the midget's ass, I don't want you all to jump on my blank. So you all better get on the bandwagon now. Once I stomp the midget, I'll make that mother blanker make me a sushi roll and cook me some rice.
Man, that's racist to me.
That's not racist. That little yellow guy, that might be quasi, but what the hell, man? If you said that white man, if the white guy said, yeah, I guess it is racist. Mayweather's publicist in Mexico for another fighter's promotion has seen the video, but has been unable to reach Mayweather or advisor Leonard Ellerbe. Kelly Swanson said she would not comment further, whoever she is. Attempts by ESPN.com to reach Ellerbe were also unsuccessful. The video speaks for itself, Pacquiao said in a statement given to ESPN.com by his publicist Fred Sternberg. animated as ever. Mayweather at times spoke directly to the camera and at other times kept the recording running while he made calls to fans who had posted messages to his Ustream and Twitter pages. The tirade came as Pacquiao is in the midst of a three-city media tour to promote his November 13th fight with Antonio Margarito, about taking place only because Mayweather refused to fight him. But Mayweather made sure it sounded as though the fight with Pacquiao, boxing's biggest bout, and the fight many believe will shatter all revenue records in boxing history, will eventually happen. They've already had two rounds of negotiations fail in January and again this spring. At this particular time, I don't know if I'm going to fight again, Mayweather said. As of right now, I truly believe I am going to fight again. But as of right now, I don't have the urge to get up. But when I do got the urge to get up, believe me, my Ustream and my Twitter fans will be the first to know. And when we do come back, we'll kick...
What?
We'll kick Puccio's ass. So,
what's that mean?
I don't know. It's funny, man. So I'll let the fans know. Don't worry. We'll kick Puccio's ass. He's going to take the urine and blood test. Oh, there we go again with that steroid thing. See,
that's it. Yeah.
All terms had been agreed to in January for Mayweather and Pacquiao to meet in March, except for the drug-related protocol. Mayweather had demanded that he and Pacquiao submit to random blood and urine tests throughout the build-up to the fight. Pacquiao agreed to random urine tests, but they could not come to an agreement on the blood testing protocol, and the fight plans imploded. Pacquiao went on to easily defeat Joshua Claudi on May 13th. Mayweather went on to easily outpoint Shane Mosley on May the 1st. Then, a second round of negotiations failed, and Pacquiao signed to fight Margarito. During this week's media tour to promote the bout, Pacquiao said he gave in to Mayweather's testing demands during the second round of negotiations. We agree with, his demands, Pacquiao said. I wanted to know if that's his real reason for not signing to fight. Mayweather's camp has denied the second round of negotiations ever took place, even though Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, insisted they did, with HBO Sports president Ross Greenberg serving as the intermediary. Arum's version was backed up by Greenberg, despite the Mayweather camp's denials. During the video, Mayweather also went on to rant about Pacquiao's record, even though Pacquiao has not lost a fight since 2005. Excuse me. And made incorrect comments about the money each had received for recent fights and endorsements. Mayweather also broke out into a bizarre song in which he called Pacquiao a whore and added, "When we do come back, we'll kick Puccio's ass. I'm going to fight the Pac-Man when he gets off the power pellets." Oh, man.
That's another one.
You bet it is, man. You bet it is, brother. All right, well, there you go. Coming up, Oksana Grigorieva has demanded that Mel Gibson increase his child support payments from $5,000 a month to, you ready, $40,000 a month.
Yeah, I think he can afford it, though.
Plus, Bud's nightly news and the Dr. Green Thumb report coming up here on The Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, the right arm of The Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You cannot listen to this show properly without a backstage pass.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Coming up, we got a Dr. Green Thumb report for you. We also have this story on Mel Gibson, 40 G's a month. I don't know how much money he makes, but if you're telling me that he can't afford 40 G's a month after he just directed, not just directed, but the cat directed a film that was an $800 million worldwide film, The Passions of the Christ. All right, that's a lot of money. Okay.
Yeah, but you don't know, you're getting, the back end.
Oh, listen to you.
What do you know, back end? What do you know about that?
Yeah, what do you know about the back end?
Shut up. I'm talking about, movies and everything.
You don't know anything about, back-end money? Get out of here.
Well, what if he is?
Well, he ought to have gotten his back-end money by now, man. I don't know what it is, 5 years after they made the damn movie, if you'll pardon the expression. Anyway, we'll talk about that, and we also have Dr. Green Thumb. But first this, Larry King and Ryan Seacrest singing a Lady Gaga song. Now, why this is news is anybody's guess, but we're talking about it, so it must be something special. Remember Lady Gaga dressing up like Larry King when she was a guest on his show? Oh, is that what she was doing? I can never figure that one out.
What?
She had on glasses and a tie. I guess she was supposed to be him. Anyway, on Thursday, September the 2nd, King, quote, sort of returned the favor. Don't worry, the septuagenarian talk show host did not don one of Gaga's over-the-top outfits. He did, however, well, he did come out wearing panties, and he shoved his rear end into the camera lens.
Did he?
No, he did. I'm kidding. He did, however, attempt to sing part of Poker Face with Ryan Seacrest. King was a guest on Seacrest's radio show Thursday, and they had a long and wide-ranging chat about King's career, his departure from CNN later this year, what he's going to be doing as he sits there doing really nothing, how he's going to be spending his money. Will he spend his money? Will he give it away? Or will he just walk into the ocean and continue walking until his head disappears under the waves?
Did it say that?
No, it didn't. I shouldn't say these things. Anyway, he also told Seacrest that he's been asked to be a contestant on Dancing with the Stars in the past. Now that he's retired, they're not much interested in having him on the show. Now, no, he didn't say that. All right, here's Larry King and Ryan Seacrest singing Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Can't read my poker face. She's got me like nobody. He can't read on my poker face. She's got me like nobody.
Poker face. Poker face. Mama.
Is that?
That is probably the way he sounds when.
Yeah.
All right. 877-876 Phil.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Yeah, we need you, Dr. Green Thumb. Larry needs you. Ryan needs you. We all need Dr. Green Thumb, don't we? Anyway, Montana teen accidentally texts the sheriff to buy pot. Nice thinking kid. General rule of thumb when looking to buy marijuana, don't text the sheriff, you jackball. Authorities set a hell on a teen, hit the wrong number, and inadvertently sent a text message to Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton saying, "Hey, dog, do you have a $20 can I can buy right now?" A detective pretending to be the dealer organized a meeting at the time when the boy knew he and another teen would be at a particular store. The detective spotted two teenage boys and one of the boys' fathers who was unaware of what was going on at the store. He called the phone number three times to make sure he had the right person. Dutton said when the detective showed the teen his badge, one of the boys fainted. No citations were issued after the parents of the boys were 15 and 16 got involved. New York City man attempted to stash marijuana in a state trooper's patrol car. Dateline Dewey Beach, Delaware. A New York City man attempted to stash marijuana in a Delaware state trooper's patrol car on Friday after his companion was pulled over for speeding. According to police, Delaware State Police, that is, they said around 2:55 a.m. local time, a trooper on routine patrol stopped a 2020 Chevy Impala, or excuse me, a 2010 Chevy Impala. Well, it was a 2020 Chevy Impala, but they look just like the 2010s. That's why they're out early. It was driving 65 miles an hour. That'd be 105 kilometers per hour in a 40 mile per hour, 64 kilometers per hour zone on Coastal Highway in Dewey Beach, Delaware. The trooper smelled marijuana coming from the car and made its occupants wait inside his patrol car as he conducted a search. The officer found no illegal substances inside the Impala, but when he walked back to his patrol car and started to smell marijuana again, the trooper had to search his own vehicle. Edward Peterson of Jamaica, Queens, had been a passenger in the Impala. The trooper forced him to get out of the patrol car and discovered that Peterson was trying to hide two bags of leafy green substance in his seat. The trooper confirmed that the substance was marijuana and seized all 1.8 grams. Peterson, 24, was arrested for possession of the bud and drug paraphernalia, but was later released on a $750 unsecured bond. Grandfather caught smuggling pot into prison for grandson, Columbus, Ohio. A man was arrested for attempting to smuggle 22 grams of pot into the Warren Correctional Institution, a medium security prison in Ohio. As a spokesperson for the Warren Correctional Institution noted, attempting to smuggle forbidden items into prison has been ongoing since inmates have been incarcerated. What sets this case apart is the man accused of smuggling the pot into the prison, Richard Hurwitz, is 85 years old, and he was trying to bring the marijuana to his grandson, who was serving a 10-year sentence for burglary. Unfortunately for Grandpa Harris, he was pulled aside by state troopers who were acting on a tip they'd received. A few hours later, Harris was behind bars as well. Holy smoke! And because the pot never reached his grandson, the younger Harrods won't face criminal charges. That's good. But the elder Harrods faces 7 years in prison and a $15,000 fine.
Dr. Green Thumb, paging Dr. Green Thumb.
That's tonight's Dr. Green Thumb report on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Still to come on our radio show, of course, we've got Mel, we got Oksana, we got it all, baby, and Bud's Nightly News. Speaking of Bud,
I'm Bud. I'm Leafy Green Bud.
Yep. Leafy Green, all right.
Leafy Pink.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I got David Hall. Hold on. Yeah.
So that's why.
We're back on the air here. David G. Hall is the vice president of syndication. My question for you was simply, why are we having Bud doing the news? You know.
Because I just got done telling you.
Can you share that with the audience?
Why?
Because I think they'd like to know why.
You know, all you're doing is embarrassing Bud. And
I'm not trying to embarrass Bud. I just don't think he's the greatest reader.
Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Shakespeare.
I'm not trying to say anything about me. I just don't know that Bud reads all that well.
We've done research, and research shows that in talk radio, it lends credibility to the host. If you got a host and you got a news guy, okay? So we want to do the news. We got a news guy, all right?
But why Bud?
Because I ain't got the budget for something better. How about that? How's that grab you, huh? Does that feel good? When you settle down on that, man, you like the feel of that? I haven't got the budget, but I think he does a good enough job, okay? You worry way too much.
But he can... I'm sorry, Bud, but you can barely read.
Barry could talk about it. He'd give me a chance.
Yeah, you're embarrassing him. What's the matter? Don't you like people who've got developmental disabilities?
Wait just a second.
Oh, so that's it, huh? You don't like people with developmental disabilities.
I didn't say anything like that.
Then what's the... Now, how come?
Yeah, how come?
All right, fine, you know.
It's the research shows that...
I know. If we have a newsman, it sounds more legitimate than if we don't.
Exactly.
What about the local news the stations do?
Would you quit with the stations? You're just...
I mean, what about the local news we're going to do at the top and the bottom of the hour?
Yeah. Well, then we also have your news guy. So we got the other news guy and girl, but we have your news guy. So that's what I'm talking about, and I wish that, you know... Yeah, I don't have to be bothered with this, all right? I'm going in with my wife, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to have a meal. I'm going to sit down and have a meal. Is that all right with you?
That's fine. All right, Bud. We'll stand by with... standing by with Bud's Nightly News here on the, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. But first, let's do... But first, I want to do a news story here. What are we doing?
We're doing Bud's Nightly News. What do you think you're doing? Come on.
Yeah, doing Bud's Nightly News. I'll tell you that, Bud.
Turn it down, man.
Bud's Nightly News. Getting high is for soldiers. Getting high on ecstasy can help a soldier. There's a news pipe bomb at Miami. They shut down Miami with a pipe bomb. But it was a man who had bubonic plague. And then another one, Lindsay Lohan ran over a baby, is what she did.
This is Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Jay Leno never had no ratings. He can't get any ratings. In another news, there's a illegal GOP contribution that they said about.
Bud's Nightly News continues.
Men ate a whale. Some men ate a whale. And then a bed bug. They found a bug. They found bugs at the Google office.
More news with Bud Dickman.
Tea Party. There's a man who is against masturbation, and he runs for the Tea Party. And another man is going to quit. I'm Bud Dickman.
Perfect. Now you, Phil.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bud. Very good.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Great.
So that's what you call...
That's not what I call anything. I'm telling you, that's what's going to push us over the top. Listen to that. Listen to that. Doesn't that sound like the news and everything? Sounds like the news to me. All right, I'm going to go into this restaurant here, and would you mind turning that off because it's burning? Oh, God. I got my iPhone on speaker, and everyone, it's embarrassing, all right? So anyway, have a good show.
David, I wanted to ask you a question. Are you... What happened?
You hung up.
All right.
I thought I did good on that one.
Yeah, you did great, man, especially that news story you said about how there's a bug, there's a man against masturbation, and he's running for the Tea Party.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? That headline didn't say anything like... And what about the guy carrying bubonic plague shutting down Miami airport? Oksana Grigoreva demand...
Yeah, that's not him.
What?
The man.
I didn't think it was the man. I'm talking about... This is a different story I'm doing now.
I thought you were talking about that too, Oksana Grigoreva shutting down Miami airport with bubonic plague.
No, Oksana Grigoreva did not shut down Miami airport with bubonic plague. There. You feel better?
Yeah, well, we got to be clear. People are going to be worried about it.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody, Oksana Grigoreva, the girlfriend of Mel Gibson, she did not shut down Miami airport with a tube of bubonic plague.
Perfect.
Thank you. Oksana, however, she did ask for $40,000 in child support.
That's just as bad.
Exactly. Take your pick. Walk through Miami airport with a tube of bubonic plague or ask for 40 G's a month. Anyway, Oksana Grigoreva has asked the judge overseeing her acrimonious custody battle with actor Mel Gibson to increase her monthly child support payments by almost 10 times the original amount. The 40-year-old singer-songwriter is asking for an increase from 5 G's a month to more than $40,000. It has been claimed, and perhaps dishonestly, by TMZ. No, I'm kidding. It's probably true. And you want to know something? I'll bet you he can afford that. And I don't even think he should begrudge her that. You know.
Yeah, you thought he was getting a bad... That everybody was being mean to him and stuff.
Maybe people are being mean to him, and maybe people are taking a lot of stuff out of context about Mel Gibson. I don't doubt that. I think he has been the object of a very vicious campaign by these selectively leaked tapes to make him sound like he's mentally deranged, and I don't think the man is at all. I think that he's got some pretty crazy opinions. I probably wouldn't want to sit down and have a drink with him. No how at all, man. But, you know, a psycho case? I don't know. He gets pissed, obviously. But by the same token, if the cat is making the kind of money that we suspect he makes, I don't know how broke he is.
Well, he said he's broke because he's paying for all his wife and everything.
Well, look, man, I mean, we're talking about some serious dollars here, aren't we? Mel Gibson, Braveheart, all those movies?
Yeah, you don't know whether he got the back end.
What is it with you and back end?
Man, that sounds gay. You know,
I'm not talking about that.
Well, then stop with the back end, okay?
I'm saying, do you know if he did?
Did what, man? Get what do you mean, talking about the... Does he have a chunk of money from Braveheart? I don't know. Is that what you're trying to ask me?
About the back end.
You know, if you keep talking about the back end, man, we're going to drop you off at a certain part of town and leave you there.
That's right, man.
Oh, yeah. So you think I'm gay, huh?
Get out of here. Mel Gibson probably made a lot of money on all of those, whether he had the back end or not, I don't know. Fact is, the dude probably had a piece on those movies. What do you think? I don't know. Must have had it on Braveheart and Passions of the Christ. So anyway, make a long story short, even if he did divorce his wife, and let's see, TMZ values Gibson as being worth approximately $450 million. Okay, $450 million right now. And that's about, by the way, Rance, you and I figured that one out. Rance and I figured out if he made $800 million on Passions of the Christ, okay, that... at the time, it seemed to us that was the chunk of change that was pushing him over the top as one of the, you know, a serious moneymaker. So if the cat has to split that in half with his ex-wife, Robin, which he does, it comes to about $450 million, depending upon what else he had in the bank at the time.
Well, what's that $450? That's $900 million.
All right, so maybe he had another $100 million laying around.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much he was worth before he made the movie, but anyway... So it's $450 million. $450 million. Now he's got to pay off the half that he gave to his wife. That leaves him with $450 million. He's got mortgages. I don't know how many houses the guy's got. I don't know how many paintings he's got to sell. I don't know exactly. When you get into that kind of money, I don't know. What are the bills like? What kind of bills are you getting? Are you getting bills for, you know, like what?
Well, I bet you get a bill like how much the electricity was for your wine cellar, you know, probably like $1,000 a month or something like that.
Well, even $1,000 a month bill for electricity for your wine cellar, man, even that. I mean, let's say he says that his nut, his annual nut, is $7.5 million just for him. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, and he also owns a small island in Fiji, but is it paid off? Or is he still paying on a mortgage?
Picture the bank still has that one.
Yeah, that's right. Chase Manhattan's got that one. Or whoever. He says that his annual nut is $7 million. That's his overhead, okay? Now, that's a lot of money, man. I mean, you got to make... Can you imagine having to make $7 million a year to cover your expenses? However, we are talking about a guy with $450 million, allegedly, of net worth. On top of that, this is a man that is working every year. And Mel Gibson, he's not going to step in front of a camera for less than what? What do you think? They say that Brad Pitt's the number one guy.
Yeah, let's have Brad Pitt make about $32 million a movie.
Brad Pitt gets $32 million a movie? All right, let's say Mel Gibson gets $20 million a movie. I can't imagine Mel Gibson even walking on a movie set without for less than that. $20 million, holy God, that right there, man. That you just covered your annual, you know, expenses three times. You know, do one stinking movie a year.
Yeah, but he isn't always going to make that kind of money.
Well, you know what? He's still in demand as a movie actor, Mel Gibson. And he can make movies, and he makes a pretty damn good movie. And that is worth more than any money he's going to make as an actor. He's going to make money as a producer. So the whole reason why we're talking about this is 40 G's a month. Why don't you just go ahead and sign off on it, man, and get rid of it? You know, just get rid of the whole thing. Just get rid of the whole problem, the whole headache. A source alleged that Oksana gets $2,500 a month in child support from former Bond actor Timothy Dalton, the father of her 13-year-old son, Alexander. As well as paying the $5,000 a month, Gibson also pays the living costs for the Sherman Oaks house where Oksana and Lucia live. And the judge might take some convincing that a 9-month-old baby needs nearly 20 times more money than a teenage boy. That's not the law. The law in the state of California is that the child is entitled to the lifestyle that the parent has. That's the...
Which parent, though?
The main support parent, okay?
All right.
And that means if you're living like, you know, the king of Siam, Jack, then your kid does, too, no matter how old she is. Gibson and Oksana's shattered relationship made headlines after recordings of the star making abusive comments to the Russian pianist emerged online. Grigoriev has claimed that Gibson hit her while she was holding their infant daughter. I guess the cops are looking into that one, huh?
Yeah, they still got a file open on him on that one. And they ain't even said what they're going to prosecute on that one.
In one of the inflammatory tapes released allegedly featuring Grigoriev, featuring Grigoriev allegedly said to Gibson, "You're acting as a crazy man right now, and you have been for many, many months. You hit me, you hit her while she was in my hands. Mel, you're losing your mind. You need medication." While the man heard on the tape, allegedly Gibson is heard to respond, "You need a effing kick up the A for being a B-C gold-digging W with a P son." I don't know. "So F you, I want my child, and no one will believe you." Well, that was not too good, Mel. No one will believe you, man. Guess what, friend? You know, that's the only other thing about Gibson I don't like. This whole idea of driving over 100 miles an hour down PCH with an open bottle of tequila between your legs, that bespeaks a man who thinks that he's just the greatest. No, he's untouchable. That is a megalomania. That's megalomania. And screaming into a phone about how no one will believe you. I know the guy's got, you know, I know he's probably got grounds to be pissed, but you're over the top like that, man. Nobody wants to hear you. You may be telling the absolute truth. No one wants to hear you. Not when you're flipping your lid like that. And when you're that whole drunk driving arrest really bothered me, because you could have killed somebody. I don't give a damn if you killed yourself. you probably deserve to die that night acting that way. But racing your ass down PCH with a bottle of tequila between your legs? Who the hell do you think you are? You ought to thank God you didn't kill somebody that night, man. They would never have, they would have buried your ass. They would never even have bothered with jail. They would have set you adrift out there, man, out in the middle of the Pacific. Mel Gibson, hey, I was close. Thanks very much, Rance. Guess what Mel Gibson gets per movie?
You say you're close?
Yeah, guess how much?
$10 million.
How's that close, man?
How is that close when I said 20?
That's close.
That's half.
I don't know. How much?
He gets $25 million a movie.
That's not close.
Oh, that's not close to $20 million, but $10 million was, huh?
Well, that goes over on Price is Right. That doesn't count.
Oh, why don't you get out of here?
What are you talking about Price is Right, man? We're talking about how much a man made.
We got a break, don't we? We do have to break. All right. Brawl breaks out at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. Plus, premium tequila has now become the new champagne. Were we ahead of the curve on that one? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
10 million. That's not close.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Go get yourself some. Go get some of that BSP before we run out. We won't run out. Premium tequila becoming the new champagne. Now, how about that? How many years have we talked about our affinity for Don Julio Blanco? Many, many years, and of course, for many years, we've at times shared with people, you know, how to drink tequila like a normal human being and not like some frat boy who thinks he knows how to drink it and only discovers that he doesn't know how to drink it when he wakes up with his face congealed to his pillowcase by his own vomit. Now then...
God, man, that's a bad image.
However true. Now then... Many are calling it the new champagne, high-end tequilas that are quickly outpacing the quintessential bottle of champagne in exclusive restaurant and nightclub circuits throughout the country. When it comes to nightlife trends, few scenes are followed as closely as the Hollywood club circuit, where this summer was defined by the absence of the French bubbly in lieu of the Mexican agave. Hot new nightclubs such as the Colony in Los Angeles, with its Hamptons meets Hollywood beach club scene, defined the season by luring celebrities through its lifeguard stand doorway to the Cabana Boys pouring glittery bottles of high-end tequila in VIP areas. Now, I want to tell you guys listening right now, when they say high-end tequila, they may mean something that I don't want you guys to get, you know, I don't want you to get polluted by it. This is Michael Martin of the street. I don't know who he is or what he is. Maybe he thinks that high-end tequila is just expensive tequila. That is not high-end tequila. High-end tequila is good tequila, and expensive tequila is not necessarily high-end. It's not just a nightclub trend. Nearby Red O was LA's hottest restaurant reservation of the summer, and Chicago-based chef Rick Bayless debuted the architectural Wonder Eatery around a stunning premium tequila lounge of 100-plus rare and vintage brands. There's a tequila place that's been around for years down in, I think, Westchester, if I'm not mistaken. They've got like 200 brands of tequila. So this idea of, you know, the 100-plus brands. Now here, listen to this. Patron is the godfather and the most favored of all the top-shelf bottles in the U.S. premium tequila market. Now that just goes to show you that nobody knows what they're drinking. Patron. It's not bad, but it is not the best tequila out there. So half of these jackballs go in for tequila. Well, let me have with it. The company, the portfolio of which now includes Ultimate Vodka and Pirau Rums, was started by Martin Crowley and Paul Mitchell founder John Paul DeJoria when they stumbled upon a tequila factory in mountainous Jalisco, Mexico. Now with more than 1,200 employees, the company continues to use... Get out of here with Patron. And he goes on to talk about Grand Patron. And he goes on to talk about some other slop. This article is, this cat is pitching Patron. One of the fastest trending tequila labels on the market, Corzo is the premium tequila brand owned by Bacardi. Well, that recommends it, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Bacardi? Bombay Sapphire. Let's see, do they own Bombay Sapphire? That used to be my favorite gin, Bombay Sapphire. Patron and Don Julio. They're saying now that this Corzo is giving serious competition to high-end makers such as Patron and Don Julio. Now, Don Julio, as you know, I think has been purchased by Seagram's. Now, they mentioned Don Julio. They're talking about Reposado and Añejo tequilas. The American market has transformed the marketplace through its demand of high-end Blanco or Silver brands. Not yielding to the trend is Don Julio, which offers its 1942 brand as a limited edition aged tequila best suited for sipping on the rocks or naked in a snifter. Named after the year the original Don Julio began his tequila business in Mexico's La Primavera, the product is aged for 30 months and undergoes a second distillation. That's what Añejo is. Añejo is your very aged tequila. The 1942, do not buy the 1942, folks. It's the packaging that makes it cost so much. Just get a bottle of Añejo Don Julio and you'll be fine, all right? Don't buy 1942 because you're buying a big box, and the reason why it's going to cost over $100 is the packaging is expensive. Hello? Okay? So this article, I wipe my with it.
You almost said a dirty word and stuff.
I guess I better wash my mouth out with tequila.
Phil Hendry.